skirts and patterned dresses, hair combed and hair wild. They are coming with joy in their hearts and vengeance on their minds, and excitement curling like a snake in the hollow of their bellies. They are coming to see the Burning Man. The two men stopped at Siebert Yakin's gas station, the friendliest little gas station in the South, close by the banks of the Okeechee River on the road to Cana. Siebert had painted the sign himself in 1968 in bright yellows and reds, and every year since then he had climbed onto the flat roof on the first day of April to freshen the colors so that the sun would never take its toll upon the sign and cause the welcome to fade. Each day the sign cast its shadow on the clean lot, on the flowers in their boxes, on the shining gas pumps, and on the bunkers filled with water so that drivers could wipe the remains of bugs from their windshields. Beyond lay untilled fields, and in the early September heat, the shimmer rising from the road made the sassafras dance in the still air. The butterflies mixed with the falling leaves, sleepy oranges and checkered whites and eastern-tailed blues bouncing upward in the wake of passing vehicles, like the sails of brightly colored ships tossing on a wild sea. From his stool by the window, Siebert would look out on the arriving cars, checking for out-of-state tags so that he could prepare a good old southern welcome, maybe sell some coffee and donuts, or shift some of the tourist maps, the yellowing of their covers in the sunlight signaling the approaching end of their usefulness. Siebert dressed the part. He wore blue overalls with his name sewn on the left breast, and a co-op beef feeds cap sat way back on his head like an afterthought. His hair was white, and he had a long mustache that curled exotically over his upper lip, the two ends almost meeting on his chin. Behind his back, folks said that it made Siebert look like a bird had just flown up his nose, but they didn't mean nothing by it. Siebert's family had lived in these parts for generations, and Siebert was one of their own. He advertised bake sales and picnics in the windows of his gas station, and donated to every good cause that came his way. If dressing and acting like Grandpa Walton helped him sell a little more gas and a couple of extra candy bars, then good luck to Siebert. Above the wooden counter, behind which Siebert sat day in, day out, 7 days each week, sharing the duties with his wife and his boy, was a bulletin board headed, "Look Who Dropped By." Pinned to it were hundreds of business cards. There were more cards on the walls and the window frames, and on the door that led into Siebert's little back office. Thousands of Abe B. Normals or Bob R. Averages passing through Georgia on their way to sell more photocopy ink or hair care products had handed old Siebert their cards so that they could leave a reminder of their visit to the friendliest little gas station in the South. Siebert never took them down, so that card had piled upon card in a process of accretion layering like rock. True, some had fallen over the years or slipped behind the coolers. But for the most part, if the Abe B's or Bob R's passed through again in years to come, with a little Abe or Bob in tow, there was a pretty good chance that they would find their cards buried beneath 100 others, like a relic of the lives that they had once enjoyed, and of the men that they had once been. But the two men who paid for a full tank and put water in the steaming engine of their piece-of-shit Taurus just before 5 that afternoon weren't the kind who left their business cards. Siebert saw that straight off. Felt it as something gave in his belly when they glanced at him. They carried themselves in a way that suggested barely suppressed menace, and a potential for lethality that was as definite as a cocked gun or an unsheathed blade. Siebert barely nodded at them when they entered, and he sure as hell didn't ask them for a card. These men didn't want to be remembered, and if, like Siebert, you were smart, then you'd pretty much do your best to forget them as soon as they'd paid for their gas, in cash, of course, and the last dust from their car had settled back on the ground. Because if at some later date you did decide to remember them, maybe when the cops came asking and flashing descriptions, then, well, they might hear about it, and they might decide to remember you, too. And the next time someone dropped by to see old Siebert, they'd be carrying flowers, and old Siebert wouldn't get to shoot the breeze or sell them a fading tourist map because old Siebert would be dead and long past worrying about yellowing stock and peeling paint. So, Siebert took their money and watched as the shorter one, the little white guy who had topped up the water when they'd pulled into the gas station, flicked through the cheap CDs and the small stock of paperbacks that Siebert kept on a rack by the door. The other man, the tall black one with the black shirt and the designer jeans, was looking casually at the corners of the ceiling and the shelves behind the counter loaded high with cigarettes. When he was satisfied that there was no camera, he removed his wallet and, using leather gloves,